Amen. I was praying and asking the Lord to help me. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hey, those of you that are watching online, if you could, you know, pick a number from 1 to 200. We had 200 envelopes. I think there was like 12 or 13 left on the stage. But if you could pick a number from 1 to 200, whatever you're comfortable with in sowing a seed into a kids camp, and if you could just fill that out and you could do that online or mail it into the church, that would help us because we want every kid to go to camp. I know that it changes lives, and we want to be a part of life change. Amen. You have your Bibles. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans 8 and verse 37. And I'm going to be starting a new series today. And we're going to, I thought it would just be a message. We were praying, Bill and Gwen were thinking of being here next week, and then they're not able to come right now. Gwen's not feeling well as well. And I want to pray for Gwen right now, and she's watching. Bill's texting me just now, and he's watching in Canada. Can we just pray for Gwen's health right now? She's just been having some pain in her leg, and we just want to speak healing over her right now. Father, Lord, we send the word to Canada today, and we speak healing. Lord, in Ottawa, Canada, let the power of the Holy Spirit invade the home. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are healing her body. Bill, could you just reach over? You probably already are, but would you just lay hands on her right now? Father, we speak healing over her. She is the healed of the Lord and divine health in her body. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Romans 8 and 37. If you have your Bibles, read it with me. I'll read New King James. You read your translation. The Apostle Paul is writing. Romans 8 is probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. I love Romans 8. There's so many. It's like a whole Bible in one chapter to me. I love Romans 8. Paul is writing, and you should have a favorite verse or favorite chapter in the Bible. Philippians 1:6, my life verse, he that begun the work in you will complete it to the day of redemption and to the day of salvation. That's my life verse, man. I build my life on that I don't have to fix my life, that he's doing the work in me, and he that begun it will finish it. Amen? And so that's mine. You should have a life verse. Romans 8:37. How many like in the book of Acts, man? Isn't it good to be out of 2 Chronicles and into the book of Acts? Oh, man, I love today. I love reading about Stephen, and I encourage you, soap with us. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. We're reading through the entire Bible, and today's chapter was Acts chapter 7, and so get a card. They're out there. You can get a card, or you can get it online or on the app. It's good to be in the book of Acts, the good of action. Amen, the book of action. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, man, how many know there's a lot going on the earth right now? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This series that I'm starting today is called More Than Conquerors, and I want everybody in the room to know that you were created in God to be an overcomer. You were created in God to be an overcomer. And I want to talk about Greg the overcomer. And I want you to put your name in there. And I want you to just place your name in there. I'm Jim the overcomer. I'm Rick the overcomer. You just put your name. I am Zach the overcomer. Everybody say right now, I am, put your name in, the overcomer. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow night at 5:30, every Monday night at 5:30, Zach is here. And he's got a team where they come together with a healing room. And it's just an opportunity for anybody that is sick to come for prayer. And they'll read scriptures, they'll pray over you. But every Monday night, there are healing rooms here at 5:30. And I encourage you, if you know somebody that's going through a struggle, man, get them to the house of the Lord tomorrow night. It'll be a great way for you to partner with faith. Amen. I am an overcomer. In the day that we're living in, there's so little talk about living a victorious life. I'm just being honest, man, and there's so little being said about living a victorious life. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of bad news. If you begin to listen to the reports of the news and you begin to listen to what others are saying, it's all got a negative slant to it. There's not a lot of good news out there. Negativity is the norm of the day. Most of the media doesn't give a good outlook for our future. The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, go with me. We're going to read a lot of different scripture today, so go with me to Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll start at verse number 1. The prophet Isaiah tells us that we have to choose whose report we're going to believe. In Isaiah 53 and verse number 1, now, if you don't have it marked or highlighted in your Bible, you should try to make it bold right here. You should underline a few things in there. Isaiah 53:1 says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And I was like, what is he meaning by the arm of the Lord? And so I begin to look it out, and I highlighted arm in there. Whom and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord means power and strength. Isaiah saying, who's going to believe this report? Who's believed our report? And to whom has power and strength been revealed? In verse number 4, he says, surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And Isaiah makes it real clear. He says, you got to choose who you're going to believe. You got to choose what position you're going to take. I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself. I choose to believe the Bible. I choose to focus on that Jesus Christ is coming back for a victorious church. He's not coming back for a church that's hiding, living in a cave, eating beanie weenies. Huh? Got a little can of beanie weenies just sitting there saying, this will give me some protein. We're just going to wait in here until Jesus comes. That's not the church that Jesus died to give his life for. Jesus said it's a victorious church. It's a church living in power and strength and living in might and living victorious. I choose to receive the report of the Lord. Joshua gets sent to the promised land. He's sent to the promised land. He picks out 12 spies and he sent them into the land. He sent 12 into the land. 10 spies went into the land came back from the land, and they chose to focus on the problem. They came back with negative reports. 2 of them chose to focus on the promise. They came back with grapes on a stick. Look how big these grapes are. Look at Numbers 13 and verse 33. And there we saw giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. The 10 that had a negative report saw the negativity and lined themselves up with the negative report. The 2 that had the grapes said, no, 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 there's giants in the land. We all saw the same giants. We all saw the same things, but we have chosen to focus on the promise. We were sent into the land, and we're coming back telling you we can take the land. The Apostle John is writing in John chapter 1 and verse 6, and he says, there was a man sent by God whose name was John. Who wrote the book of John? John. John wrote the book of John, and John said, I was sent by God. There was a man sent by God. I want you to know, you and I have been sent by God, and we got to choose whose report we're going to believe. What's the narrative we're going to grab? Are we going to grab a hold of the promises that God has a promise and a future for our life, that God has a hope and a plan for us? There's a destiny for us. I love this verse. There was a man sent by God. His name was John. I want you to know something. John had a different perspective of who he was. He said, look here, I'm not just trying to get through this thing. I'm not trying to survive this thing. I am sent by God, and I am an overcomer. I refuse to let the world dictate my victory. I refuse to let the world dominate my thought patterns to where I see a narrative that says we're not going to be victorious. If you are in the kingdom of God, you're called to be an overcomer. The church of Jesus Christ will not be overcome by this world. I'm just telling you right now, we will not be overcome by this world. We are a victorious church. Go to Romans 8 and 5. Flip back to Romans 8 and 5. Paul's giving us the picture here. He's showing us the clear picture. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds in the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. All right, listen, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, because the Spirit of life, because of righteousness. Look at verse number 11. But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. He's laying it out just like Isaiah did. You got to choose whose report you're going to live in. Are you going to live in the Spirit? Or are you going to live in the flesh? Are you going to see with carnal eyes? Or are you going to see with spiritual eyes? Are you called into the kingdom of God and out of the world of darkness? Have you been called into the light? Are you light that can be seen? Are you salt that can be tasted? Jesus has already overcome the world. The world is teaching us to live in survival mode. They want us to just get through the day. If you could just get through the day. And I'm telling you, this can happen to anybody. I found myself this week in survival mode. My daughter brought her pregnant puppy to our house, her pregnant dog to our house. Her name is Riley. She's a golden retriever. Not Riley, Sadie. Sadie, Riley did not have 10 puppies. Sadie had 10 puppies. And the puppies have now got a voice. And there are 10 puppies in the room next door to mine. And they are screaming. And they are yipping and yapping and pooping everywhere. There is hair all over my house. I'm in survival mode. I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, if I can just get through these next 2 weeks, because next week Sadie is going back to Destiny in Orlando. And in 2 weeks, the parents, the proud owners who have bought these puppies are going to pick these puppies up out of my house, and they're leaving my home, and they're going to a new destination. I've been in survival mode all week long, and I'm telling you, I'm ready for this to be over. Society wants to teach our children to live with a survival mentality. I love American Ninja Warrior. I love watching that show. But now it's turned into now. It's like this never-ending thing. It's like you just got to try to make it to the next round, because if you make it to the next round, then you get to go to Vegas, and in Vegas you get the next round, then you're going to LA, and then after you go to LA you're going to go to it's like the survive, you're just trying to survive to the next round. It's the narrative that's been played out all over the world. It used to be The Voice or American Idol was this thing where you were going to win the American Idol. Now it has nothing to do with winning. It's all about surviving and getting to the next round. If you could just get to the next round. We even have a show called Survivor. This whole thing where you're just trying to survive and get to the Bachelorette. If I can get her to like me one more day and I get to the next round. It's this thing that they're playing out all over America. It's just survival, trying to survive. When I'm here to tell you, you are more than just a survivor. You're a reviver. You're not on the place just to survive. You've been placed on this planet to impact this planet for the kingdom of God. I don't do well with that survival mentality. It's like when Destiny was playing sports. See, when Jordan was playing sports, it was different. Destiny starts playing sports, and we're up at the soccer field, and I'm watching the kids go down. We kick a goal, and I'm like, yes. The other team comes down, kicks a goal, and I go, yes. We kick a goal, and I say, yes, we're winning. We're up 2-1. They're like, shh, we don't keep score here. This is all about having fun. I'm sorry. I'm not here to have fun. I'm sitting in 95-degree heat, sweating, looking at these little kids running up and down the field. I want to find a winner. I want to see a winner. Listen, winning isn't everything, but losing is nothing. You want to know the score? I'll tell you the score. There is a winner and there is a loser. Jesus called us out of the kingdom of darkness because they are losers. They've got a forecasted end. It's hell. The winners have a forecasted end. It's to wear a robe and a crown. I got news for you. One day, church, I'm going to wear a robe and a crown. I am not living in this world just to survive and get to the end. I'm running a weight race, and I got a prize to win. Amen. People are just trying to survive, man. Just trying to survive. What do we need to do to survive the COVID-19? Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Go here, don't go there. What things can I go to? How far can I get? Close can I get? It's just survival mode. We're all trying to protect ourselves and live in survival mode. Now we got racism and we're trying to survive it. Just trying to get through this thing. But I can't wait till it's all over because we got to get through with it. I got news for you. It's never going to end. It was here in the biblical days. It'll be here when Jesus comes. There's hatred on the earth, but I'm here to tell you the love of God has captured our hearts and we can rise up and say, No, we're not living in survival mode. We love everybody, and God has a plan for every person. Doesn't matter your skin color. Doesn't matter where you come from. God has a plan and a hope for every life. Amen. We get caught up and taught a survival way of thinking. It's an end-time strategy to keep us in bondage. It's an end-time strategy. There's a spirit over this land, Dan. It's a spirit over Naples, Florida. It's a spirit that says, listen, there's this self-made spirit. Like, you know, if I can just get everything, if I can protect myself, I've made the money, I've got this, I've got that, and I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to give myself a better life. That's an antichrist spirit. You can't give yourself a better life. Well, yes, I can, Pastor. I can hit a button and all the blinds come down, and I got armor, I got guns, I got machine guns. I can protect myself. No, you can't. You're gonna die a lonely man. Just gonna tell you, it's an end time strategy to keep us dependent upon our own ability. You have no ability to be righteous. You have no ability to be a good person. You have no ability to give yourself a better life. You may have millions of dollars in your bank account, but you can't get a better life. There's only one way to get a better life. It's at the cross of Calvary. It's laying everything down and saying, I choose to follow you, and I depend upon Jesus. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding. Amen. Somehow we just that lie that somehow if the government and if the world would just pass certain laws, it's going to make life better. No, that's not going to make life better. The only thing that can make a life better is a knee that is bowed to Jesus, to Jehovah God. Amen. Go to 1 John chapter 5. If you think somehow we can look to a lost society and somehow think that they're going to pass laws that's going to heal our land, we're so messed up. Somehow if the world does a better job, we'll all have a better life. No, that's not going to give you a better life. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? John is writing and telling us, this is how you overcome the spirit of racism on the earth. This is how you overcome the lies of the enemy and the deception of the enemy. Our faith in Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is the introduction to my sermon. So would you join me right now and let's just pray, because I want God to speak to your hearts today. I'm serious, that's the intro. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that in this series, chains will be broken. Chains of bondage, lies of the enemy will be exposed, strongholds will be destroyed. I pray that the Church of Jesus Christ will reposition itself for victory. We would realign ourselves up with the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Same storyline. Choose. In me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, I've already overcome the world. The word overcome in the Greek is the word nikeo. Nikeo. It means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. It's where we get the English word Nike. Look at your feet. Some of you got Nikes on right now. Nikes. Just do it. Nike, you got to choose whose report you're going to believe. Nike sent top executives to Africa. Is Waldo still here? Did he leave? Waldo. Waldo's from South Africa. Waldo was playing the keys. Miss Gail's on vacation. Waldo's a part of Faith on Fire, part of Pastor Andre's team. He's been at our church a couple years now. He's such a blessing. Waldo knows Africa. He's from South Africa. Nike decided they wanted to expand their market. So they sent top executives. They said, I want you to go to Africa and see maybe if we can open a division of Nike in Africa. One came back and said, no, I wouldn't do it. We went all around Africa, and the people there don't even wear shoes. You're wasting your money if you think you're going to go there and start a Nike store in Africa, because they don't even wear shoes. The other top executive came back and said, yes, we need to start this yesterday. Nobody here has shoes. The market's wide open. Everybody's barefoot. We need to get here now. Nikeo was believed to be a Greek goddess who had wings and flew around from battlefield to battlefield, giving a special crown to those who had achieved a victory in battle. She was swift and agile. She flew all around, and she was just going, and she would give a special crown. Nikeo has three different meanings in the Bible. First one is someone who warred with great strength and speed. She had these wings. She flew around from battle to battle with great speed and agility. The second way Nikeo is used in the Bible, Nikeo is used when it's used to describe someone who walked onto a battlefield and walked off the same battlefield victorious, no matter what the odds were. No matter how everything was going in the wrong direction and everything was against them, that Nikeo was your, that overcomer was used for a person that stepped onto that battlefield and walked off that battlefield going, it's done, we won. The third way Nikeo is used, it's in the sense of a legal term. It was used to describe a victory in a courtroom. When someone won a court case, they used Nikeo to describe the victory. Revelation 12 and 10 says this. Then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of Christ has come, for the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. The Bible tells us we have an accuser that is constantly trying to bring us and drag us into a courtroom and throw up our past. He's constantly trying to get us to focus on what we have not done and what we have done that was wrong in the past. The enemy has nothing good to say about us. He wants to frame the narrative and tell us how bad we are. He's always pointing out our weakness. He's always looking for our failures. He's always looking for an opportunity to beat us down. And I want to tell you something. He always wants to remind you of your loss and what you can't do. But Jesus said, I already know about all that, and I put it under the blood. I've already covered them in the blood of Jesus. Did they do that? Did they say that? Is that what they did in the past? Absolutely. But it doesn't matter, because when I look at them, I don't see their past. All I see is their future. All I see is what I'm going to do with their lives, because their sin has been washed in the blood of Jesus. You and I have been dragged into the courtroom, Nikhil, and we have the victory. Why? Because Jesus has forgiven us. I've come to tell you today that you're an overcomer. John was letting his readers know about another kind of overcomer, not the Greek goddess who was flying around from battle to battle. John was saying the person who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ. John says the victory doesn't come from placing your trust in other gods with a small g. Nikeo means the great victory comes through Jesus Christ. Okay, so here's what I found, you know, in studying for this and preparing myself. Let me see that washcloth, babe. Thank you. Times in the New Testament, the word overcomer is used. 28 times. Nikhil, that word Nikhil is used 28 times in the New Testament. 24 of the 28 times was by the Apostle John. John the Apostle was one of the original 12 disciples. Jesus called 12 men to follow him. Come follow me. Left all, followed him. Did you know John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin? John the Baptist, who came preaching in the wilderness, was Jesus' second cousin. But I want you to know this too. The Apostle John was Jesus' cousin. John was the last living apostle. He's writing about himself, and he said there was a man who was sent by God. His name was John. John was young when Jesus was crucified. The Bible doesn't tell us how old John was, but theologians and history tells us that John was probably in his early 20s when Jesus was crucified, which means he was probably called into the ministry around 19. In his teens, maybe in his later teens. His age wasn't recorded. However, he was the youngest of apostles, and probably in his early 20s. Twice the Bible records that John laid his head on the chest of Jesus. Think about it. John basically listened to the heartbeat of Jesus. I'm talking about a man who was the last living apostle, probably the only one recorded that I know of, that probably listened to the very heartbeat of our Savior. Peter, James, and John had a special relationship with Jesus. James and John were brothers. They were the sons of Zebedee. And the Bible records in Matthew 3:17 that Jesus called them the sons of thunder. They were cousins to Jesus. Their mother, Salome, was the sister of Jesus. Mother Mary, it was her sister, Salome, that gave birth to James and John. And those two boys now are following Christ, and they are disciples. But John outlived all the disciples. John wrote 5 books of the New Testament. He wrote the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's John's writings, written long after Jesus had died. Long after the other apostles had written their story, John begins to detail his story. That's why John's gospel has things in it that the other three gospels don't have. John's given his life account of it. He's writing it down. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he also wrote the book of Revelation, the end time revelation of Jesus Christ. Tradition holds that John was sentenced to death in a boiling vat of oil. He was sentenced to die. It's not recorded in the Bible, but historians have found writings, and they say that they tried to kill John, and they tried to boil him in a vat of oil. Yet he emerged unharmed from the experience, and he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. Am I right, Papa? They banished him to the Isle of Patmos. Now, the Isle of Patmos, I looked up the Isle of Patmos just to see what it was. It was a volcanic, treeless, rocky island. And what would happen is they would take Roman prisoners that they wanted, that were sentenced to die, and they would banish them to this little island because it was there that many of them would die from loneliness and starvation. And they would die in this island all by themselves there, but not John. John was an overcomer. John gets to the Isle of Patmos and he's there all by himself. And all of a sudden, angels are sent from heaven to his side. And John begins to pen the book of Revelation. And he writes to the churches of Asia and he begins to tell them about their past and tell them where they're headed and tell them where they're at. Let me tell you something. This man was an overcomer. Tradition tells us that John lived to an old age and died somewhere after 98 AD, after the death of Christ. It's thought that he died somewhere in Ephesus. In all of John's writings, he had a consistent theme of overcoming. John knew something about the spirit of an overcomer. Who is an overcomer? Look over to your neighbor and say, who is an overcomer? Listen, if they won't talk to you, I give you permission to get up and move and sit next to somebody that's friendly. John said, whoever is born of God is an overcomer. The word born of God is unique in Scripture. The word born is the Greek word geneo. G-E-N-N-A-O, geneo. It's where we get the English word genes from. Genes. Whoever is born of God, whoever has the genes of God. The Bible is saying that whoever has God as their daddy. Everybody say, who's your daddy? I don't want to stir anybody up today. I'm not trying to pick a fight, but I want you to know something. My daddy can whoop your daddy. Just saying. See, the world wants us to think that somehow their daddy is superior being floating around the earth. John 8:28 tells us, Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. And Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Then others answered and said, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you what you have seen with your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. You do the deeds of your father. When they said to him, we were not born of fornication, we have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, if you had your father's genes, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth from and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth, and because there's no truth in him, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. John is reminding us that when you get born again, when you get geneo, when you get the regene, I call it regene, it ain't a word, I tried to look it up. That should be a word, I just created my own Ebonics word. Regene, you got regene, bro. Listen to me. I know Bailey's like, well, that ain't a word. She's a college grad. She's like, that ain't a word. You got new genes. When you get new genes, something amazing happens in your life. Go to Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. We'll bleep that out of the whole service for the feed. Titus 3:4. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, listen, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That word regeneration means new genes. It means regened. In other words, your hair color and the lack of hair came from your first birth. Look, this is my son Jordan. Come here. This is a result of this, which came from my father who had this. It came in our first birth. When you were born through your biological parents, you were gened. You got genes, your eye color, your hair color, your height, your weight. These all came from your first birth. They all came from the genealogy of your past. They all came from there. But when you got regened, you now have the genes of your heavenly father, the DNA of heaven. You now carry the genes of your heavenly father. You have to decide who, where am I going to operate? How am I going to flow? Who am I? What's my opinion? What's my choice? Whose report am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the report of my first birth or my second birth? An overcomer is not someone who was born into a perfect family with a perfect father. An overcomer is someone who was born into a perfected family with a perfect father. This is good. Smile. I mean, this is so good. John 3:5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In your first birth, through your mother and your father, Your genes determine your eye color, your height, your weight. And I don't know about you, but does anybody else other than me come from a messed up gene pool? I came from a messed up gene pool. Your first birth gave you a slim chance at living a victorious life because they were already messed up. I'm just telling you, they were messed up and they were marred from the beginning. And I'm here to tell you, no matter how messed up your family was, no matter how many times they were in jail or incarcerated, it doesn't matter if they were drug addicts, it doesn't matter their past, it doesn't matter if they were alcoholics, it doesn't matter if they were a CEO on Wall Street. Your genes from your heavenly father take away every excuse from anybody from living a defeated life. It takes away every excuse from anybody from walking in victory. It doesn't matter your skin color, it doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your IQ. Everybody now who has been born again gets regened with the Father's DNA, and we now have the spirit of life in us. We have the spirit of hope in us, and no weapon formed against us can prosper. Why? Because we've been regened. I don't care if your family tree was a cactus. When you get born again and you get this new system of operation downloaded into who you are not who you used to be. You are not who they thought you were and who they said you were going to be. You now have the DNA of the Father. You are not an old sinner trying to get to heaven. You are now saved, sanctified, and on your way to an eternal destination. I preach to myself if I have to, because I had messed up DNA. All the mess that has haunted you from your entire life got destroyed the day that you were born again. We're not teaching this stuff. We're not talking about this anymore. You don't hear churches talking about this anymore. It's like we just believe in this little prayer. You come up and pray the prayer, and if you pray the prayer, then you're saved. Fill out the card. I said the prayer. Now I'm saved. I got a problem with that. I struggle with that because there's a scripture that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He gets re-gened. He gets new genes. Old things pass away and all things become new. All of a sudden, when you get saved, something should happen in your life. There's a transformation. If you're not seeing a transformation, you just made a confession. You didn't get converted. When you get converted, old things pass away and all things become new. You get a hunger for the word of God. You get a hunger for prayer. You're seeking out a new believer's class. You're wanting to be discipled. You're wanting to be a follower of Jesus. That's good preaching. I'll make myself happy. When you got new genes, when you got regened, every yoke was destroyed. Every curse was broken. We don't talk about it. We just think, well, it's okay. You know, if you come up and pray, you can just go out and just take your time because you'll get it. You know, it'll just get it. No, you don't just get it. Salvation, when you get saved, you don't get partially saved. And I got a little bit saved today. I went up and I prayed, and I'm still cussing, and I'm still doing a few of them things. You know, I'm still screwing around. I'm still doing some of this stuff, but I'm going to get better because I'm going to get more saved as I go along. No, you don't get more saved. Saved is saved. When you get saved, you get regenerated. You get regened. You get new genes. And all the excuses are taken away. You stop sinning. You stop acting like the devil. You stop living with hatred. And you start living with love. And you love everybody. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter where they come from. What side of the tracks they grew up on. Doesn't matter if they got money or got no money. Everybody walks in the spirit of love when you get born again. And if you have forgotten what that looks like and you're just kind of going through, well, let's just get through the day here and let's just try to survive the moment, you need to get regened. You need to get to an altar and say, God, I want that old nature taken out of me. I want the new nature of Christ in me. I don't want to live with a sin consciousness. I want to live with a righteousness consciousness, Lord. I want to know that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want the grace of God to carry me through to another round of fighting with the devil. Amen. Every entitlement the devil had over my life was destroyed when I got born again. Because the Son set me free. I'm free indeed. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I got regenerated because I still struggle with the same old things. Let me just tell you something. There will always be a war on the inside of you with who you are and who you used to be. That doesn't mean that you do not have the DNA of Christ in you. Just because you're fighting and just because you're under attack, let me just tell you something. Salvation is a process of you becoming who you already are. I'm not trying to get saved. I am saved. Well, how come I'm dealing with so much stuff from my past? Because there's a devil. And he's the accuser of the brethren. And he's constantly trying to drag you through the miry clay, trying to take you back to your past, trying to have you live in the old cycles of your sin. But God says, no, I've already saved you. I put the blood of Jesus on you. I have sealed you with the blood. And you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have an identity problem. You don't know who you are anymore. You're just trying to figure it all out. And I'm telling you, Jesus has called us into his marvelous light. Me and Uncle Rick got the saying. Uncle Rick said it first, and I grabbed it. Said, you can't fix stupid. And I'm going to tell you something now. Just because you get saved doesn't exempt you from stupidity. We all got some stupid in us. But when you get saved, the moment you get regened, from that moment on, you will never be overtaken by stupidity. You will never be overtaken. You will never be surrounded. I'm telling you, you may do some stupid things, but you are not stupid. You have been brought into the kingdom of God, and you now have royalty flowing through your veins. The blood of Jesus is in you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You need to stop making excuses for your sin. When we received salvation and we got regened, all the excuses were taken away. You have a Christ nature now. One of the biggest problems in Christianity is the sin classification. Like, my sin's not as big as my son's sin, and my neighbors, man, they got a lot of sin in their heart, but I'm doing better than them, so I'm doing better. No, sin is sin. All sin needs the grace of God. Overcomers are not born into a perfect family. Overcomers are born into a perfected family. True salvation comes with change. John said, the one that overcomes is born of God, regenerated. Michael, if you could come. Your affections change when you get born again. What are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? I say all the time, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. What are you surrounded with? What's your mind consumed with? Your first birth gave you eyes that gave you the ability to see. But your second birth, when you got regened, your second birth gave you vision, the ability to see into the future. Your first birth gave you a heartbeat. Your born again second birth gave you a heart for Jesus. How do you know if you look at your desires? What are you passionate about? Who are you trying to impress? My first birth through my biological parents was a delivery. My second birth was a destiny. This is what it means to be born again. Some of us have forgotten what that looks like. We're so quick to blame everybody and everything for what's going on. Jesus took away all the excuses. Said, you have the DNA of the Father in you. Everybody stand up on your feet with me, please. Everybody watching online right now, don't tune out right now, man. Do you have new genes from your Heavenly Father? Do you have His DNA, His makeup? You know what His DNA was? I'll tell you what Jesus' DNA was. They're ripping His beard out. They're spitting in His face. They're poking Him with a spear. They're putting vinegar in His mouth. And Jesus' DNA was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't let what you're seeing in the news media, the narrative that the news media is playing out, don't let any of that stuff seep into your spirit. You are a victorious Christian. You are Christ-like. You carry the Spirit of the living God. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And we love everybody. And we pray. Solemn assemblies all over the city, in your homes. I'm praying, asking God, how do we do that corporately? But I want you to know right now, God is with you, and God is for you. Whose report will you believe? Everybody bow your hearts right now in the room. Just close your eyes, please. Those of you that are watching at home right now, if you have somebody watching with you, a family member, maybe you're by yourself, if you got somebody with you right now, would you take a hold of their hand? Come on, everybody join hands right now and just pray. God, we're not looking for a confession. We're looking for conversions. We're looking for somebody that wants to be regened. That's somebody who wants the DNA of heaven to consume their thought patterns, to consume their lives. If you're in this room with me right here, I'm speaking to your heart. What's been consuming you? What are your thoughts? The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. If you've been consumed with surviving, you need the DNA of heaven to come in you. I'm going to ask right now, with everybody in the room praying, if you would say, Pastor, I know I'm not where I need to be with God. This message speaks to me so clearly. I need the Spirit of the living God to take over my life. If you were to die today, you're not even sure you go to heaven because you've gotten so off track from where God's called you to be. You need new genes. You need to be born again. Thank you, Lord. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you, if God's speaking to your heart, just there were several, probably 8 or 9 in the first service, I'm going to ask God to speak to your heart right now and ask you to walk in obedience. And you say, Pastor, if this message is speaking to you about your life and your situation, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I come against all just pride, the spirit of pride, who's going to see and who's going to wonder why I'm raising my hand, all those lies of the enemy. As I prayed in the beginning, God, break down strongholds, tear down lies, expose the enemy, and let those who are hungry for you and those that know that need radical change in their life to respond now to the word of God. 1, 2, 3, lift your hands all over the room right now. Hands are going up all over. Don't wait on me. Run to the altar, guys. We're old-fashioned here. We believe the altar is the place of change. Come on, just get out of your seat. Come right now. You lifted your hand, come kneel. You that are at home right now with your family, I want you to use your words and pray peace over them right now. Pray healing and deliverance over them right now. Come on, let's just go after God. Let's pray. Everybody lift your hands right now and repent. Cry out for our nation. Repent for this land. Repent for the salvation. Repent for the lies of the enemy. And cry out for salvation to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, all over this room, we're praying for each and every one who has believed the lies of the enemy, who has been spoken to by the deception of the devil. And I pray the healing would come, the peace would come. Oh God, let everybody know their lives matter. They matter in heaven. They've been sent by God, and they have an assignment to bring healing to the land. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you.